for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are here. We are back
in the building.
Muhammad back from Wakanda.
Oh, yeah.
In the building again.
In the building.
Good
building.
To see you, my dude.
What's happening? What's happening?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Everything good, man. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Good you to have you. Good to have the people in the building.
For sure.
Yeah, it was odd just staring off into the distance, talking to the fucking FaceTime.
Yeah, man, you could have did the visual. Yeah, but, you know. We didn't do that.
Nah, that's what it is.
But we got it done.
We definitely got it done, and we back. We running and gunning.
No doubt.
Yeah. But, you know, funny thing, we actually, this is well timed, because I didn't even realize that today is the third time in history a president has been impeached. And I don't even, I don't even know the specifics. That's the word on the streets.
The articles have been drawn up for impeachment.
And
this is the third time that this happened.
In was American that Clinton history. And who else?
Andrew Johnson.
Hold on, brother. Yeah. Donald Trump is in the bill. Listen, we wanted to get some insight. We've been talking a lot about politics, and I know we had teased it before. We got a political correspondent from the Hit Politics podcast. I want y'all to, we're going to introduce my man Cameron Trimble in the building. Cameron, what's good? How are you, brother?
Thanks for pleasure to be in the conversation. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. Glad to have you in the building.
All the way up in New York.
You my DC plug. You know what I mean?
Sherpa.
Absolutely. Definitely a DC Sherpa.
Cameron was introduced to the In the Conversation audience through your trip to the Black Smithsonian.
To the Black Smithsonian. Yes.
Yeah, that's where we got to connect for the first time.
I
heard you were going to be in DC on the podcast.
Right.
And you were like, hey, I got shows, and I just DM'd you on Twitter like, yo, you need to come out and check out the Smithsonian.
That was a good look. I was up in there like an upstanding Negro. I had the walk. It was official. So shout out to that man for that. But on top of that, Cameron is a political, I don't say insider. Obviously, it's an insider. You are in that game. You are in that realm. You have deep roots in the politics game. You are active in that. You have a podcast called Hit Politics that discusses quite a bit about politics and the merge with the hip-hop culture and things of that nature. So you are one of the ideal people to kind of make some sense of all that's been going on, chiefly what's going on, immediately with this whole impeachment hearing and articles being drawn up, but then also the Kamala of it all and wherever else we want to go. So
and why we need to be tuning in, that's the biggest thing.
I absolutely talk to me, because I feel like I've said on this mic, I feel as though it felt like theater. You know what I mean? It felt like theater. It felt like they just teasing, like it's just something, stay tuned, Trump may be impeached. You know what I'm saying? I never really bought into it, but I don't really know the particulars, of all of that. But I would like you to kind of break down a little bit of what's going on. Why is that important? What our community could do, and anything else that you would like to talk about with that.
Well, first again, thanks for having me in the conversation.
Of course.
I mean, this is, like you mentioned at the top of the show, this is one of the most monumental days in history. This is only the third time that articles of impeachment have been drawn up. He hasn't been impeached yet.
Right.
It's just a thing. It was actually, most people think Nixon was impeached. No, he resigned before it ever even got that far. So it was really just Clinton and Andrew Johnson. Like,
wow.
So Nixon wasn't really really impeached.
No, it was just an easy way to. He was about to be impeached. They were, the point that happened today, it was like, had he quit 2 days ago?
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
So,
Bill Clinton got impeached and didn't even really feel like he got impeached.
Nah, he kind of smoothed out.
And that's kind of what, unfortunately, why this impeachment, no matter what happens, is not really going to remove Trump. Sorry, put the spoiler alert. It's not going to happen, because the same dynamic that Clinton had is that the impeachment comes from the House, where Democrats are in majority, mm-hmm. but the trial is in the Senate.
Right.
And they've got, and you have to get a supermajority, which right. is 2/3,
mm-hmm.
Which out of 100 is 66, 67, mm-hmm. depending on how many senators, if all the senators are there. So 67 votes. Right now, if you count the two independents, Bernie Sanders is one of them, mm-hmm. that caucus with the Democrats,
mm-hmm.
they don't have enough votes. They've got, what, 47?
Wow.
So they would need, you basically need to peel off 20 Republicans, senators, uh-huh. to vote. And that's if every Democrat and the two independents all vote for him.
Right.
In order to kick him out of office. So the same thing with Clinton. He had a Democratic Senate.
Right.
And they weren't over, they weren't about to convict him.
So what we doing?
Yeah.
It matters. Everybody's kind of getting that civics lesson 101, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's being distorted. I mean, it's been distorted in all these, and how we cover politics now, like it's the NBA or the NFL, or we cover yeah. it like it's draft picks. So people are not getting the information the same way, even just as recently as Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of can go watch Fox. You can watch your own emails, you can listen to Breitbart, you can be in your own bubble and not realize what's really going on, or you could be on all the way on the other side and only reading what's the far left, and you don't really have a sense of I guess like political reality. But the reality, it matters. One, like I said, it's only third time in history. It shows that to some extent our government is trying to continue to work,
right?
But it should be a stain that carries them all the way to the election. Like at the end of the day, you have an impeached president. Like it damaged the Democratic Party when Clinton got impeached, but he was getting impeached over a line about sex. This is like fundamental, what Trump's lying about and doing is like fundamental to this country. As much as we know the government, it is an inside game of I'm quid pro quo. That's still illegal to do it and then talk about it on like I dare you to do something. Because that's really what we're doing. It's like,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen next? The next president going to be able to, like, just come in, you know what I mean, and do whatever he wants.
If we ever have a next president.
What's a quid pro quo?
Quid pro quo. Quid pro quo. It's like favor for a favor, easiest right. way. You give me this, I give you that explicitly. Right. So that means I'm in one of the articles, and Trump has said it, and it's been in the transcripts.
Right.
He said it publicly on TV. Yes, I need you to do a favor. Yes, thank you for doing this. The president of Ukraine, thank you for giving us this money. Hey, but what I'm going to need from you is a favor to do this and this. This is why. It's right there, but because of how it's being spun in your own whatever media world you in,
mm-hmm.
how you take that information is different. They just... quid pro quo don't even mean nothing to anybody anymore. So it's like, oh, I'm just some words to say. But it has real implications.
It's like political insider trading almost, maybe, or is that a reach?
Yeah, I can see a way.
I mean, there's a lot of mayors go to jail for that kind of shit, don't it?
Do they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who went to jail?
Low-key, everybody.
my man from Atlanta, what's his name?
Kasim?
Nah. They trying to get Kasim.
To go to
Jefferson
jail?
Down. He was
Campbell.
A black...
Campbell.
Oh,
Bill,
really?
Bill Campbell. And,
wow.
And, Atlanta. They send mayors to jail all the time for that kind of shit.
For how long?
Long enough. Kwame might not. That nigga got like 27 years.
Kwame Kilpatrick?
Yeah, Kwame was doing a bunch.
I mean, I don't know all his counts and charges, but his ass is gone.
Did you go to school with him or no?
Yeah, he went to FAMU.
Damn. Shout out
to him. He lived in the dorm with me.
Damn.
He was
eating ramen again.
Nah, he was doing his thing then. Even in college. Like, I stayed in the football dorm, mm-hmm. which was crazy because I didn't play football.
Uh-huh.
But on our floor, it was split between non-football players and then mm-hmm. football players. So the end of the hall I was on was like non-football players.
Right.
And then they were on the other end. And his wife, Carlotta, who's his wife now, she would be living up in there with him. And when she go use the bathroom, yeah, niggas standing there blocking the door.
This nigga was living like Big Meech.
Yeah, he was like Big Meech in college. Shit. He was like a football player. She was a cheerleader.
Wow.
It was like, you know, they was famous couple.
Oh, he was a football player.
Yeah, he was
okay.
a football player.
Okay.
And then she was a cheerleader.
Damn.
That's funny you mentioned that. I went to Howard. Mm-hmm. during the years. I don't know if you ever heard of Dream or Love. It turned into
The club, the
super mega
definitely.
Club.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
So my first, I was still in Howard when Dream opened up and like was one of the student promoters. I'd have seen him at least three times at a table in like the promoter section while he was mayor.
Wow.
So he's the mayor of Detroit out in D.C. popping bottles with chicks.
Hey. Yeah, I mean, that's what he was known to do.
That's why I got him elected.
Crime. Ain't no crime in popping a bottle or two.
Nah, you know, shit. That's called campaigning.
Exactly.
You know. But back
till you get elected.
You know, shit. But back to the, so you know what, just for everybody, just to explicitly spell it out. Trump was in cahoots or in conversation with the Ukraine, but what is it, the prime minister or what's the?
The president of Ukraine.
The president of Ukraine.
Democratically elected president of Ukraine.
Sending him some funds, but then he's like, yo, I need you to look into what, Biden's emails or something? What was the?
The reason why it's an issue, and I'll
break it all the way down.
There's three branches of government, Supreme Court, Congress, and the executive branch, president. Mm-hmm. Congress is known to have what is called the power of the purse. They're the ones who give the money out.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, all your taxes, Congress says where all that money is supposed to go. Okay. That is a law, though. So every year they pass a new law saying money has to go here, money has to go there.
Right.
So they passed a law saying money, their foreign aid, Ukraine, this is already Ukraine's money by law.
Already earmarked.
It's already earmarked.
Uh-huh.
What Trump did, it said, hold up, before y'all put send on a check, I'm going to get on the phone with the president of Ukraine, who was a newer president. So he got a lot of political realities back home to like every other country need to do well by the United States because they get money and resources from us.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thank you for your help. Also, thank you for inviting me to the White House or inviting me to D.C. Mm-hmm. That's what Ukraine is saying. He's like, yes, but first I'm going to need a favor. I need you, there's this company, forget Quick Strike or whatever it is. There's a company. I hear there's a lot of corruption in that. A lot of people are saying you need to look into that. Also, people are saying you need to look into Joe Biden and his son and the work and the dealings that he did.
This is Trump saying
this. Trump saying this explicitly on a phone call.
On the horn, yeah.
After we just talked about, thank you for this money that I think is coming. And then the kicker is that you should work with Attorney General Barr and my lawyer Giuliani to essentially work out the details.
Right.
And now you got Giuliani coming in who's not an elected official or appointed anything. He just works for Trump. He's kind of doing the underhand dealing. Attorney General Barr essentially is in the bag for Trump, even though he's our head attorney general. So we went from Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch to this guy. And who he believes in, he's known to believe in supreme power of the president. His whole deal has been to try to expand the powers of the president, our attorney general. So you got somebody who believes that, Trump, a person who embodies that, is like, hey, I could do whatever I want.
Carte blanche, yeah.
And they're trying to push this narrative forward. And they knew there was an issue. All the other government, quote unquote, insiders, actual, for lack of a better term, the adults in the room, people who are career diplomats and politicians, these people who are there, they immediately knew this was an issue when they're over. Because when you're on the phone, you got at least 20, 30 people listening.
Okay.
You got the NSA, you got people in your camp, whatever the relevant departments, people are listening on these calls. So he's not having these secret calls.
Okay.
They took that and put it in a secret stash, essentially a file, a lock file, saying, oh, this is under presidential, all right, this is for the tightest of presidential secrets, like a lockbox.
The audio. Okay.
They immediately put that there because they knew if this comes out,
it's fucked.
This is what he just did was a problem.
Right.
But Trump probably didn't, in the moment, didn't know and or care.
Right.
And so, but that has all kind of been laid out. But now just how long it took me to explain it in quote unquote as the simplest terms as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you trying to get all that information in a 17 to 35 second soundbite from somebody who has an agenda on TV.
Mm.
And that's why everybody's confused about what's going on.
Right. Damn. Trump a wild boy. That's why he's wild. This is my thing. First of all, so you're saying the impeachment articles went through. Third time in
history. And they're going to get voted on probably this week or next week.
Okay. But after all that, even as historical as that sounds, shit ain't nothing going to change. Yo, and then he got impeachment on his record, which is a big-ass asterisk. It's almost like use of steroids or some shit. And he's probably going to, I mean, that should at least, if you're not impeached from this term, it should at least disqualify you from running again. But I don't think that's going to be an issue for
that
man.
That's going to amp his followers up.
Oh, they're going to think he's a martyr.
Right.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, that's the sad part. I mean, Trump lost the last election by millions of votes, so he'll probably lose the next election by millions of votes.
Wow.
We just got to make sure the right states and the right places that people are voting. Kind of what I do and what I'm focused on.
Yeah, tell the people what you do a little bit.
So Hippolitics, I'm the founder of the Hippolitics organization, co-host of the Hippolitics podcast, along with guy named Michael McQuarrie. He's known as the mayor of Capitol Hill.
Okay.
Black HBCU grad. He's been a comms director for like 25 plus years.
What's on a comms director?
Communications director for members of Congress. So he's worked for like the Sheila Jackson Lees of the world, the Maxine Waters, the Congressional Black Caucus. He's also a co-owner of one of the biggest party promoters. Promotion groups.
So he popping bottles too, huh?
In DC, yes.
He in the comms.
For the last 15, 20 years. So he's the guy. When I got, I spent about 7 years as communications and strategist on Capitol Hill during two stints. Mm-hmm. So he, one of the people who took me under his wing.
Right.
Kind of helped show me the ropes when I first got there a decade ago. So we host a podcast where we talk to political insiders, elected officials, hip hop artists, people in the music industry. Cause I think hip hop, my belief, and I'm standing on that, hip hop is the evolution of like politics and representation for multiple generations. And we're the biggest genre.
Mm-hmm.
We're global. Now Jay-Z just turned 50.
Right.
And he's not even the oldest end of hip hop, but just when you think about who's the GOAT or who's kind of the central theme in hip hop, that fool is 50.
Right.
But you got Lil Tecca. I don't even know his song like that, but I know that fool's like 19.
Yeah, he looked like about 14.
14. But you got, there's
Lil Tecca.
Lil Tecca. You ever see Lil Tecca?
What's his song?
I don't know his song. He just looked like he looked like he's still in school. Like he looked like, you know what I mean? Got wear glasses, got his little braids. He looked like he like a seventh grader or some shit. I think he popping. I mean, he's popping, but I don't know the records because, you know, I'm all the way out the loop with that type of shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, shout out to Lil Tecca. Rest in peace, Juice WRLD.
Yeah, rest in peace, Juice WRLD.
Like Lil Duval.
Yeah, I guess so, back in the day, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
but I say that to say that generation is it's almost multi-generational. It goes across class, goes across race. But we all are connected to the same, some of a similar energy. If a Lil Tecca to Jay-Z, they got millions of followers on social. They've got people really tuned in. They've got companies and organizations who are willing to pay them all this money to be advertisers and be brand ambassadors. Well, how about be a brand ambassador for the fact that now felons are re-enfranchised in the state of Florida? There's over 1+ million people who can now have the potential opportunity to vote who are former felons. That just passed last year. But now, are they going to hear from us? They're going to hear from somebody going out knocking doors, or can I get, like what 2 Chainz was able to do with Georgia, or can I get a Rick Ross and 2 Chainz to now jump on with some reputable organizations and spread that message, and just even just through social media and a few different pop-up appearances.
Right.
I think there's so much opportunity. And then I know this from also, like I said, I've been working in politics, raising money, campaigns for the better part of 15 years since I graduated.
Right.
One of the biggest things we're always trying to do is like, all right, who can we get? What validator, what influencer? And they just don't know that world. Or if they do, it's like, how much money do we have? Or most of these organizations don't have that kind of money, but they need that kind of look to get in the mainstream. But I also, part of my time, I took a couple breaks. I used to work for the Chemist record label. They were Interscope subsidiary in LA. And a lot of the time while I was on the Hill, I was doing a lot of video and promotion work for underground DC artists. So, because I knew how to write a PR plan, I knew how to get interviews, I knew a little bit about booking from throwing parties at Howard.
Right.
So I was helping a lot of underground artists.
Like who? Shout them out.
Billy Bang out of New York. He's from Queens. A group named Surreal.
Okay.
Was able to get them a deal to do like the for NAACP 75th anniversary. Their theme song. Couple of small, very small tours, all small,
right, small time.
Shit. Nothing big. But it did get me in an industry where I was out in LA for a while. And then you hear you in the studio with all these people, they care about this stuff too. They just don't know that. They know what they see on TV. They don't trust the police. They don't trust the government.
Right.
And that's where it stops. But they care about these same issues. So I knew there's energy on both sides and there's need on both sides. It's just how you bringing those together and talking about it in a cool way.
When you say both sides, you mean politics and hip hop? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of cool if that, you know, what could they do? I mean, outside of just using, you saying, so you could use their platform and their voice. I think the thing about, you know, politics that I see is it's so, even as we see, even on the Democratic side, as people are kind of trying to find out who's going to be the nominee on the Democratic side, shit is so splintered, you know what I mean? So it's kind of hard to get that, like, that one cohesive message where we all saying, this is who we got, you know what I mean? Like, if you were Jay, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your insight, who would you put your money on? Who would you say, all right, I'm going to have my people, I'm going to get my squad, my caucus, you know what I mean, Rock Nation, all my fans, I'm putting it right behind this person because I feel like they got the shot. Who's the pick for you?
For Jay-Z, Rich.
No, but Jay, I'm just saying, Jay Rich, so, you know. He might not represent. He might want that little kickback that Trump got.
He might be voting for Trump in the booth.
Yeah, that a bitch.
I want to hope he's not. I done raised on too many Jay bars.
Yeah. Like, and Jay is a capitalist, and you know that.
And he said it. I ain't shit. He said it a few times.
Jay will tell you he buy his bread.
Yeah. Yeah, but so if Jay wasn't,
if Jay's about Trump, the people,
if Jay was about the people,
because I want to say Jay is about the people.
No doubt.
We all want to say that, but you know, Jay about Jay. But if you were Jay
live in a different neighborhood than us.
Yeah,
this is true. This
if
is
you
true.
You was Jay, and you looking at this landscape right now. This crop of Democratic hopefuls. Who would you put the power behind?
Well, there's two things. If I was Jay, I wouldn't weigh in until the people decided later in the caucus process. Like, we're gonna go into the primary starting in February,
right,
and they're gonna go through with all these different people, and you got these top three or four candidates.
Uh-huh.
It'll probably take a while to figure out who's gonna be the nominee.
Right.
But if I had to bet on who's in it now and Jay had to get behind someone, I'd probably say Bernie.
Really?
Still? That heart attack got me.
That heart attack shit.
He had the heart attack. What I do for the firm I work for at a living, we were putting on the presidential gun safety forum. So we were in Vegas with the top 10 candidates. Like,
right.
Big event. And he had a heart attack that morning. So he was like on the docket that day.
He was on the list.
In Vegas. Yeah, so that's why he was in Vegas when this happened.
Shit.
For our forum. What
was he doing when he had the heart attack?
That's some Vegas type shit, right? That's what it sounds like. It got a little bit more scrupulous. I thought he had this shit in Vermont. Vegas.
I don't know what part is. He was in Nevada. I don't know if he was in Vegas. He was
political.
He was in Nevada in Vegas for that reason. Because I'm not going to cast
on the Bunny Ranch.
Right.
But they called Lamar Odom
with his wife. Come on now.
Hey, man.
Hey, heart attack.
What happens in Vegas, you know what they say.
Yeah, man.
But so I would say Bernie because.
Still.
Yes, it may be a Bernie, maybe a Warren, but Bernie is the most authentic to me of all. Bernie and Corey are the most authentic people to
Corey,
me.
Corey, really?
Who's left. Corey just ain't got the juice of the traction, so
damn.
I don't see Jay betting on a person who's not going to win.
Bernie, go ahead.
Right now, who going to win? Buttigieg? No, not Buttigieg. Black people don't like him. But okay. Really, it's going to be Bernie or Warren, unless there's some, Bernie or Warren more than likely.
Elizabeth Warren?
Elizabeth Warren, more than likely. Buttigieg has a chance, but he has.
Buttigieg is who?
the mayor of South Bend,
Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Mayor Pete.
But he's polling behind people like John Delaney, who you don't even know.
No. Buttigieg is behind. I thought he was coming
with
up
with black people.
Okay.
In South Carolina, they just released today, like, he has that, like, 1%.
Yeah.
Or Biden. I'm sorry. I'm missing the big one, Biden. So it's going to be one of those three. Biden. But I am of the belief that over time, Biden may fall to the wayside.
Why is
It's
because he fell on little girls.
Well, no.
This is what Ali's been going crazy with.
I'm just saying.
The views of Ali Muhammad.
I got a lot of friends that work for a lot of my good friends are prominent black friends that are prominently positioned and non-black friends, but that are prominently positioned with Biden. So I think Biden has a very, very strong chance.
Uh-huh.
I think Jay, the reason why I said Bernie over a Biden, that Jay would get behind, because Bernie still, the energy he represents is still that new cutting edge.
Right.
Let's break something. Let's mess the system up.
Right.
And I feel like Jay's whole history has been about upending the system or getting in the system and owning it and finding a way. So to me, philosophically, now, yes, Bernie trying to take all his money, trying to tax the billionaires and all
that
stuff.
Right.
But if Jay is about the people in college for everyone, Medicare for all, things of that nature, and that young, youthful, working man energy, I would say of three or four of the big time candidates, I would say he's that, because Biden is the safe choice. Bernie is like, oh, things gonna be different.
Shake shit up a little bit, huh? Yeah. Now, what happened? What are your thoughts on what happened with Kamala?
I was hoping we're gonna have a Howard alumni.
Right. That's your people. That's your people.
Be all up in there. Cause she came out high. She had almost 20,000 plus people at her kickoff, in the Bay.
Yeah.
What happened?
What you think?
Political reality, and she ran out of money. Political reality was that I believe it's the 27th, 28th of December, somewhere around that time, it was the last opportunity she had to take her name off of the ballot for California primary.
Okay.
And there's some other realities, but it just would be embarrassing if, like, hey, I get to that and I already dropped out, but now my name is on the ballot in a state after I stopped running, in the state that I'm the current senator for.
Right.
So there's...
Well, what's embarrassing about that? Why would your name still be on the ballot if you dropped out?
There's a filing deadline.
Gotcha.
Okay. So that's where there was a deadline for her to have to basically say, like, is this going to happen or not?
Right.
But why she said it wasn't going to happen?
Ran out of money. I mean, it's been publicly reported a few times that they cut staff a couple months ago. Like I said, she came in hot, but she just maybe got too bloated of a campaign versus how much money she was raising. She's not independently wealthy, so she can't self-finance a campaign like some other candidates can keep going. So she needed a combination of big money and small money donors.
Nobody was behind her.
People behind
the
her,
juice,
but
none in the juice.
Not at the levels that they're behind everyone else.
No,
okay. I mean, Bernie's killing it with the numbers, but he already had an infrastructure and a system built up from 2016. So it's like he didn't have to start from scratch. Warren has been picking up steam. Buttigieg is getting a lot of big money donor. I mean, he used to work for McKinsey. I don't know if you've heard of that.
What is that?
McKinsey. They're like the Masters of the Universe. They're one of these conglomerate consulting firms, but the consulting firm of consulting firms. Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is going to call any consulting firm in the country to fix something, it would be McKinsey.
Wow. And what was Buttigieg doing over there?
Fixing.
I don't know.
He was
a consultant for several years. I mean, this is younger.
Got you.
Yeah. McKinsey just released him. His NDA, they just dropped his NDA, so he can now publicly say who he worked for while he was there, because that was a big deal.
And now he could kind of leverage that for a little bit more juice.
Money. Yeah, right, exactly. Right. But I say that to say he's in a camp and connected to people who got real big money in paper.
Now, what's the theory? There's a story that the theories and stories that was going on with Kamala. They were saying that she kind of was flip-flopping, or she just didn't really have anything that was solid, that she was solidly running on. What are your thoughts on that? You agree with that? Would you?
Yeah, I think, and that kind of goes back to the running out of money and a campaign structure. Like, when you're on a campaign, I mean, you're talking, you've got the idea is that you're trying to inspire so many people to give up 18 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Because when I worked the first Obama campaign, I legit was getting in office at 8, mm-hmm. leaving at 12. Like, our last call, statewide call, was like at midnight or 11 p.m., maybe do another hour of work, trying to motivate dozens of volunteers to right. put extra hours in addition to me getting paid, of all ages and, you know what I mean, ages and races. It takes a lot of structured leadership to say, like, hey, this is something I know she stands on, and top to bottom, volunteer to the highest level, mm-hmm. can say, this is what you stand on. This is your mm-hmm. signature. These are your signature platform pieces. And she just never had something, I mean, for better or for worse, even if it was something that people weren't rocking with, she didn't have, like, a slogan. She didn't have a signature piece of legislation.
Yeah.
She's out here fighting the I mean, we interviewed a few, some Blavity and the Root reporters, some young reporters, and they were like, in some of their reporting, they realized, like, kids thought she was 12. Like, yeah, she's the like, she's the police.
Not 12. I'm like, thinking Lil Tecca again. Oh, you're saying she's a cop.
She's the cop.
Yeah, because she got that crazy back, that history.
I mean, she was the district attorney, but yeah. and then she was a district attorney that was pushing for a truancy law. So essentially, poor people and right. mothers whose kids are staying out because they can't control their kids. Now you're going to lock up the moms who are most likely poor.
Right.
And now you know what I mean, keeping that cycle going.
Yeah.
And it's just easy as an attorney general, and you in the most progressive state in the country.
Right.
So it's like, if you can't do some progressive stuff as attorney general out there, what makes you think you got to come here and do it? Mm. So I think there's just a lot of things that built up over time. It's like, it's hard for young people to get behind her. She's black, but is she black enough? She's married to a white man, and she'd have black.
Is she married to a white man?
Yeah, very much so.
Didn't know that. Anyway, so who the fuck we got? You got
Bernie and Biden and Warren.
Creepy Joe. and Bravakovich, wasn't that?
Buttigieg. Warren. I like Warren, though. Warren be saying some slick shit in the... in these debates. Like, when I see it, she got some bars.
But who we got? The people got.
I mean, I thought the people had, well, shit, the people ain't got nobody, baby. Blue.
That's a speculator in the hip politics. You watch the landscape. Who you got out there for the people? Yeah.
I think, obviously, any of them would be better than
Trump.
Yeah, we ain't going with that.
Yeah.
We going with,
I think, if it's, if I'm really talking about for the people, I mm-hmm. think, there's Bernie,
huh?
I think there's Warren. Yeah. I think they are real. And I think Biden, because I know the people around Biden, and mm-hmm. I know what he did before versus now, he got a lot of young black folks. Like,
off that Obama wave, no, too? Or not just his own
general
thing.
His really? Own general. People who were attracted to him. My guy, who's his strategic communications director, is
if
young
it's not
alpha.
The Obama cosign, what was it that brought the people to Biden?
No, I think the Obama cosign is what already got him there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Biden's doing anything to keep him there.
Okay.
In a sense of like, oh, he's the most known commodity of everyone. You were a vice president under right. Obama. You've been in politics for 50 since you were 29 and you 70-something.
Yeah.
You super comfortable around black people and young people. Like, he is seeing them up and close around. He's just comfortable around black, like.
And little girls.
He's just comfortable. He's smelling hair. He out here. He's familiar. He's a very familiar cat.
You really? I just watched the videos, man. And, you know, I heard about Creepy Joe. I saw the hashtag Creepy uh-huh. Joe. I ain't pay much attention to it. Then one of the videos popped up on my page. And it was like a compilation.
Oh, man.
Oh, I ain't seen that one.
Oh, yeah. You got to do your research, brother. Nah. It was like a compilation of all his little moments with little girls. Not even wow. women. Like, look, like, taking a picture, and he, like, putting his hand on the girl's chest, and she like, what the fuck? And he keep moving it back. She like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
And are these real, or are they deep fakes?
This was before deep fake came out. This was a couple years ago when I saw these.
Because that's another real thing that we have
to look
out for.
These, like, real, like, you know what I'm saying?
They happened in the news.
He, like, political, like, he at the White House and at the, you know what I'm saying, this place.
Right.
So, and these over years, it's not like they came out this year. Like, I saw it maybe 2-3 years ago. But that just, it was just, you know, weird, you know what I'm saying? And in my mind, I would be fighting Joe. in the White House, fuck around. I'd be somewhere in jail. Motherfucker, what the fuck?
Trying to hop that gate.
No, I'm saying if my, like, you know, because, like, the kids, they
taking
y'all
a already
picture.
There. Yeah, you in there, they taking a picture. Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It, like, if you see your daughter doing all that, yanking back, like, you know what I mean?
Get shot. You had to get shot out there.
I probably had to get shot. Up in the cracking Joe in the jaw.
I'm not going to defend that. I'm not here to defend that.
I'm just saying that's just some shit that I seen that throw me off about Joe. I know, you know what I'm saying, he might be the only chance we got, but whoo, if it come down to Joe
or Trump.
And Trump, I'm gonna be in the booth sweating. This shit gonna be popping out of here.
Oh man!
But you know, I'm gonna do my own research. I haven't started. Like, I'm like what you said about Jay-Z. I'm gonna start later in the caucus.
Yeah, it's early still.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got time
to see what net out and who what we dealing with, and then I'll start digging in.
Right.
Right now, it's too early. It's like jumping in NBA season. You know what I'm saying? Week one.
Unless you, yeah, that's a, I would say that's a perfect analogy because people who are care are people who were in it.
Right.
And that's who the most rabid fans are. That's the people who were showing up at rallies. These are the quote-unquote super fans or the professional people in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I got a question for y'all as observers of culture. Like, what is coming through? Like being up, I mean, New York super liberal is the media capital of the world. What do you and your I mean, you deal with audiences every night, audiences all the time.
Right.
Like, what are people saying?
I still feel like it's super early. I feel like it feel like a bunch of SoundCloud rappers. I've been saying it for a while. Like, nobody got the buzz. I see Bloomberg now. He trying to throw a bunch of money in the game, and I think that ain't gonna do nothing. That's just some billionaire shit.
Some real billionaire shit.
I think. To your point, the bold names are still the bold names. We know Biden because Biden's been around. Bernie's been around. Bernie's he's giving you the hope. You know what I'm saying? But then I really feel like that heart attack kind of slowed some momentum.
Yeah. But actually, it didn't. He raised one of his best fundraising days of the year was after the heart attack, and he's still been surging in the polls. And,
so he might throw another one.
And he and he's still. He's in top three. Like, his fundraising numbers are amazing. Mm. I got a question. Why Cory Booker not getting more love, especially here in New York? He's right across the bridge, Jersey.
Yet.
But y'all didn't. I feel like he's right next to the city.
He moved real fast. He went from mayor of Newark to running for president.
But even when he was mayor of Newark, I felt like he was one of the most famous mayors in the country.
On the political scene,
not in TV.
Like you might see him on TV and shit. You know what I mean? Like, okay, he cool, but he wasn't dynamic.
Nah.
And then you know what I'm saying? I don't know nothing about his politics because I never had to really study him. You know what I'm saying? He was cool, but it wasn't like he was like, oh shit, this motherfucker got this shit on lock.
No real pizzazz with him. You know what I mean? Like he
got Rosario Dawson.
Dawson, yeah.
But that shit, I don't even. you know what I mean?
That's very real. That love is very real. We were at an event in Atlanta for the last debate. That love is super real.
We'll see.
Interesting.
He just don't have that presidential look.
But even outside,
and you know how when you don't really know, no. All you got to go by is how they look.
Mm. And it's also like for you to be so close but feel so far away. Not so like I said, I don't think he. You know, people know who he is. But I don't know if he resonate like that, like where people I keep forgetting. Oh shit! Right, Cory Booker's still in there. You know what I mean? Oh right, right, right. He one of them, and it's like, all he's been doing, because he's been doing a lot politically. It don't seem like it amounted to a whole lot of momentum.
So you know, beyond our particular ignorance of you know what Cory has going on and his political stance, do you think he would be good for us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not saying, and this is the thing, all these different Medicare for all, college and for all, it's like you got to have these big lofty goals so you have something to work toward.
Right.
But I think maybe because I'm a creature of the Congress and I've been there for
Of Congress.
COC.
As in, like I came in wide-eyed thinking all the same things. Hey, we need to get this. We need to get this done. We need to get this done. But then working there, and then I worked under some of the more senior members.
Right.
And I got to understand, like, oh, this is what's really going to happen. So I look at people when they're saying all these things, it's like, man, that's not going to happen. A version of this. I was there during the healthcare fight.
That's my question for you. How soon, because you said when you got in the game, you were wide-eyed, you were excited. How soon the reality of the political landscape and being in the mix, how soon does your optimism get deflated? Because I feel like it's so many people that are like, it's a lot of people out there selling dreams, and then the people that seem to be within the mix are like, man, I don't believe that shit. You know that ain't gonna happen. How soon? How many? Like
within the year?
ASAP.
Yeah, immediately. Because
I got into. I was in comms and marketing beforehand. I dropped my job.
Right.
My first job. Because I was actually throwing parties for Obama early in 2007, early 2008.
Right.
Right before the. Primary season kicked off. I was in Philly, right. Grad school, throwing parties. I did a couple of fundraisers.
Right.
Those fundraisers got me on their radar, and they were like, "Hey, volunteer, volunteer." I knew some people in the campaign. I was like, "I'm dropping my job. I went to Michigan, and was like, I'll be a low level press person just because I believe so much
in Michigan.
In Michigan, that's where Obama. That's where they needed. Okay. Needed me.
It was cold.
Yeah, it was very cold. Kent County wasn't even in a cool city. I was in like Grand Rapids. Next
shout
to
the
Black
gun
Horn.
Rule.
Yeah.
That's what they call that.
Yeah, it
shout
was
out to Willie the Kid and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Yeah. So we were out there. So I feel like from that time, from the election of 2008, and then I shifted my energy. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go back to D.C.
Right.
I'm gonna get on Capitol Hill. Like that was. I just had a singular. I didn't want to work in the White House. I had a singular focus. I was like, I'm gonna do something press communications, and for a member of Congress. It took me about 6 months to break in. Mm-hmm. 6 months of
campaign,
everything, campaigning, yeah. 100 coffees and emails, and
right.
dropping all this stuff to get a fellowship.
Right.
So you got middle 2009. I gave up on like, oh, this is not real. This is not gonna happen by February 2010. So about 7 months of being on Capitol Hill and working, and I think I was lucky enough because I was on comms and we had a couple crisis moments with the member. And committee I was with immediately. Mm-hmm. And once I got to see how we handled that, what was talked about, being in meetings, watching members talk, stuff you can't say out publicly, but you're here and you're like, oh, this is quid pro quo, for lack of a better term.
Right, right.
And this is not, and then I watched how we, the idea of healthcare is so basic and universal.
Mm-hmm.
And for how that got demonized and twisted and watered down and like on a legislative, like you got friends who are literally writing pieces of this legislation that's going into it and recognizing like what they're going through. That one, that first year to a year and a half, it made me, like when I say a creature of Congress, made me realize like, oh, there's a reality to this. That doesn't mean things won't get done,
right.
But they're super slow and deliberate.
Wow. Now, why do you think the healthcare thing got demonized? Is just because there's so much money in pharmaceuticals and shit like that, or all that lobbyism?
Middleman and money. What does insurance do? They a middleman. And they a middleman that employs millions of people and makes tens of billions of dollars and gives millions away, spends millions in advertising. Right. The system is, for a lack of better term, I guess can say works to some extent.
Right.
And we had a black president and they said that. We had a black Democratic president. Oh, we're going to use all of our tricks to demonize any and everything he's attached to make him as toxic as possible. Mitch McConnell said, hey, our goal is to make him a first-term president. He said that on camera multiple times when Obama got
elected. I remember that.
So healthcare, you coming in, you going against people who just want you out no matter what you're touting.
Mm-hmm.
You're black, so there's some undercurrent there like that. Mm-hmm. We got to get him out of here.
Right.
And then you going after one of the most important financially viable industries and trying to completely upset the apple cart, make a lot of companies and people lighter in the pocket for something that has an altruistic goal. But it's like, oh no, and politics is still a game. So it's like, how do I get, they lost a bunch of seats when Obama got elected. You need a bad guy in politics. This is politics 101. You need a bad guy, something to blame and direct everyone's energy to give them an alternative. So, hey, healthcare, death panels, all these things, cool terms that people didn't really fully know healthcare. They just know
the buzzwords they see, demonize it. It's attached to this black president we don't like. Here, like, let's put all our money into that.
Socialist.
Yeah.
Man.
Sorry, I wish I could be more. I wish it was more uplifted.
Man, I
still believe.
I salute that, like that optimism, because I don't even work there, and I'm defeated a little bit. Like, you know, not defeated, but I look at that shit with a whole lot of skepticism. Just the way that Trump just be doing whatever the fuck he want to do. It's kind of, it's depressing. You know what I mean? And shit, that's really it. So, I mean, I really salute you because you getting up every day summoning up, you know what I mean? Some energy and still trying to push that bitch up the hill and keep it going. So that, you know, for real, I salute you because, man, I don't know what the fuck I'd have done. I'd have probably tried to find a loophole. I might have fucked around and got locked up, too.
You would have been a politic promoter.
No.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, there's a lot of...
Popping bottles and throwing bodies and shit.
Something. Yeah.
There's a lot of legal money in the game, though. So it's not That's why I think the people who get locked up and doing it, they just trying to find... They either greedy or they just trying to find shortcuts. As with anything, they trying to find shortcuts and ways around it. So when you get all these people getting locked up, but depending on what you decide to do in the game of politics, some things are not meant to make money. Like if you a public servant, you're not supposed to be making money.
Right.
So
you're a public servant.
Right.
Is it the benefit? Because again, I'm trying to figure out
in those kind of situations, I'm not even sure what your next question about to be.
I was about to say, is it the benefits? You know, I know there's a lot of healthcare benefits. There's a lot of, you know, I'm sure there's some perks in having some influence in these markets. Because I'm thinking if, back to the fact of when the optimism, I don't want to say dies, but when the optimism kind of drops off, what is it that keeps people around? You know what I mean? Like, what is it that keeps people around it? I feel like it's ran off of hope and optimism. And if it depletes as quickly as it can, maybe 7 months or something, you know.
I think that's the optimism depleted, but the reality, what we're doing, we're still the most, D.C., maybe New York, but D.C. is probably the most powerful, impactful city and place. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with... The decisions we all wake up every day, when if you realize this, the decisions you wake up every day, whether you're a staffer, a member of Congress, somewhere in that realm, you are affecting laws, trillions of dollars, global influence, things that are going to set trends and set the stage for, quote unquote, all of history. Like you're a small cog in that, and this one day in the grander scheme of things is just a small piece of it.
Right.
But if you understand the magnitude of what it is, and my dad's a pastor, my mom's activist and is working not activist, but like social work and
helping works people.
Helping people and education.
Right.
I come from just altruistically, you're supposed to be helping people.
Right.
Like, and figure it out. You're just supposed to figure out a way, like, rich people can help people, poor people can help people. Like, I come from that mindset and grew up in that way. And so when I got here, I was like, oh, this is the biggest platform to help people. Now it might be incremental and they may not feel it or know they're feeling it or they don't see it. But I guarantee you, us fighting for something that's never going to make the news, but these certain SNAP benefits, us fighting for making sure certain representation is there. So, let's cut this 100 million, this 20, 40 million here can have vast impact in a few different state budgets that it goes to. That is eventually going to trickle down to certain, a nonprofit local community that's going to get a $50,000 grant or $25,000 grant. That's going to save that group and all the people. So understanding it is a quote-unquote trickle-down effect.
Okay.
And then but
it's wins.
It's a game. It's a game just like every other game. You know what I'm saying? You got your perks. You got your, you know what I'm saying, your drawbacks. But if you signed up for the game, that disillusionment for the 7 months ain't going to really phase you. You're going to go in for what you went for. You know what I'm saying? Some people want power. Some people want the fame and power. Some people, you know, just want to help. Some people want D.C. groupies. It's like any other game. If you ever been to the CBC, you know it exists.
It is, exactly.
It exists. I didn't know that. I was.
You been down?
They used to be my client. So we used to shoot.
Used to shoot stuff for CBC.
Yeah, 5 years. And yeah, it was like, oh shit, this is a party.
Recently? In the last few years?
This was, what, 2011, right around about.
You knew Sherita?
No, I mean, maybe not. I had one plug, and when it wasn't 5, it was probably like 3 years. And when the congressman died, he was out of play, and I was out of play. It was politics, you know what I mean? But I never really banked on it. It was just something interesting.
Right.
They say it's like ugly people's Hollywood.
I've heard that before.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you go to Hollywood, it's people that take all kind of losses to be in Hollywood.
Right.
In the entertainment industry, it's people work all kind of ungodly hours and get their whole life just to be in the mix of the whole shit.
Gotcha.
So it's the same shit, just different game and with different ramifications to the American people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's people signing up every day. It's somebody like, yeah, boy, I can't wait to get that fellowship.
Every day. I mean, we had to force people just this year. They passed laws to, like, having to start to pay interns. But because I got to the game late, so I was already in my late 20s, and I'd already had jobs before and throwing parties. I was used to making, not a ton of money.
I'm saying just making money.
I used to get a paycheck. I wasn't willing to go from paycheck to, like, oh, just take a free internship to try to work your way in.
Right.
But that is what you tell almost anybody who's like, hey, how do I get into Congress? Well, you're going to make sure you save up some money and get you a side job, because you're going to have to work for free for 3 months to a year.
Wow.
Just to get in the game. But you got members of Congress who started that way. People who are, who came from nothing. They didn't come from money. They came there as a fellowship out of college and X, Y, boom, 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 worked their way up. They elected members of office right now. You got some of the most powerful lobbyists. You got business owners. You got so many people to your point, people sign up for the game, and it is I would dare to say it's the most influential, powerful, richest game there is. It's bigger than maybe the only other game that might have more money is if you're getting into Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah. But if you think about it.
They help control that too.
Exactly. Right. They turn on a faucet
game. They control that too.
Exactly.
Control the whole shit. They
got the whole board.
It's trillions of dollars coming out the government every year when taxes are due. Like trillions. That got to get spent. Every year. So
that's like college budgets. You know how they say, we got to spend this money. Yeah, shit.
So, I mean, most people, you young, you don't fully conceptualize what the game is. You just get there and see, like, oh, these famous people, these members of Congress, girls like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a cool place, and I get to go to receptions with free food and drinks. And, like, you see CBC. CBC is a movie. Yeah. If you black down there, and you in Chocolate City as a black man.
Yeah.
And that shit is a whole play.
That type of propaganda.
Like, it's a whole play. Like, you go to D.C. and it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, what's your security clearance? Like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? I ain't never even heard of no goddamn
security.
That's
like a laminate check.
Like, you got to have that if you're going to be playing in D.C.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's floating around your regular community.
Right.
What's your security clearance?
That's
a hierarchy.
That's one of the reasons why people love Marion Barry so much is because, and how he got reelected is that he broke down the doors when he was first mayor of, like, yo, you got a black city and all these black potential workers and they can't get even just basic government jobs, and so he instituted a lot of systems to force to hire people in the D.C. area, internships for students and so forth to give them summer jobs to get ready. And so now you got people who are, like, a good friend of mine, he didn't graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, he got two second-level security clearance. When I got there, he had just started. He just quit his job and was like, all right, start his own little IT business, one-man business. I got one member of Congress I'm working for. Now he got a $7 million a year business. This is, what, 10 years later?
Mm.
10 employees. The highest level of security clearance and looking to expand just off of, and he didn't go to black dude didn't go to college.
I mean, when he go to the club, he be like, I got the top level security clearance. Right. Oh, shit. He bring this nigga some bottles. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
He inspiring out there.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's like a bankroll.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You get in anywhere. You I mean, all access.
It's like a Cuban link.
That's your
big fat one.
You're getting $100,000 to $200,000 if you got top level security. Like, you shouldn't be without.
What
a
does
job.
That even mean? Top level security? What is you going to the White House anytime? Yeah,
nah, secret, top secret, different levels and variations in there. It just is what level of information you're allowed to have access, like to even view,
be privy to.
Like when they say that's above my pay grade,
right?
That's all in that.
Okay, yeah, got you.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Last question.
Got it.
Would you ever run for office?
Yes.
Yeah? Is that that's a plan then?
It's not a plan.
But it's, I mean, you said it. You said it
in the game.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, but shit, there's a difference.
This, and I'm not even trying to be secret about it. It's a plan I've said. The idea is to get here politics one way or the other, whether I'm running it or I'm just a part of it. But mm-hmm. the idea is to get this as another platform, another player, the same way the Black community, the Jewish community, Latino community, mm-hmm. women, LGBTQ, you start talking about farmers. Mm-hmm. Like, farmers have a huge lobby. Mm. Like, their interests are well represented.
Right.
They got lobbyists, they got organizations, they got people, they got members of Congress. Hip-hop is just as big.
Right.
We control just as many, if not more people. We control their hearts, minds, and culture.
Mm.
We got the money. We got the play. And we care about real issues.
Mm-hmm.
We almost need to be our own political entity. I won't not call party, but uh-huh. political entity. And we got aspects and pieces of that.
Right.
I want to get that to happen. Then I can go serve. And I'm pretty sure if I help get that happen, I might make some money in the process.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be okay on not being poor,
right?
And I'll do good work by just trying to do this. Like, we were going to push things that are naturally happen,
right?
But then maybe in my later half of my career, in my 40s, 50s, I would city council something just so I can do some level of service.
Dope.
That's a big fight. That's not. It's a silent fight. It's not big yet, but it's a fight going on in Georgia to where last year, the entertainment industry for the first time surpassed agriculture as the biggest earner in the state.
Wow.
Which farmers don't like that shit. Like, that state is built on agriculture, on slaves. Yeah. You know what I mean?
All right, yeah.
Like, that's like, what the fuck? You know? So that's a thing, you know what I'm saying, of the balance of power. Does it sway? Even is the entertainment community even organized enough to sway it?
To leverage it.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, but numbers, well, I don't even think they, you know, that's a published number, but it's not being talked about a lot. I heard about it,
mm-hmm.
and I hear other conversations about it on the flip side of like how the fuck, that's why a lot of that shit with the abortion bill and all that, that's why they pushing it that way, so it could run some of that business out of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's big, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you had to, you know, I didn't know that was going on until like late last year, and somebody pointed it out in this the survey that just came out, or whatever, the report that had just came out. I was like, yo, this is the first year that has ever happened. And then you start seeing all those other things start to happen.
There's going to be heavy resistance. Whenever a new political power player, anybody starts flexing your people muscle, your money muscle.
Right.
There's going to be resistance. They're going to try to disorganize and try to find a bunch of ways. I mean, history is riddled with that. The reason why I answered so quickly is that it's something that I did, to your point, like, I knew I got in the game. I said, hey, if what I'm called to do is service at some point, mm-hmm. I will do that. I'm still a capitalist. I still like making money in a hustle.
Right.
So, and I don't want to be. I almost ran for something years ago when I was young and way more idealistic, and I got counseled like, "Hey, you're gonna end up broke unless you stay in it."
Mm.
But because you start talking about city council, you're making 30,000 in some cities, 50,000, 40,000, 50,000, 60,000, and it was like, "Man, I'm making that now throwing parties,
yeah. definitely popping no bottles."
Like, yeah, and I was younger and more immature, but now at the point in place I'm at, it's like, dude, I want to find a way to do this, my mm-hmm. part in this, to so I can leave something to the, like really contribute to quote unquote the game, do something that's going to help people. A lot, it'll create platforms and opportunity. And my equation is, if you do good work, and if I do good work on any level of that,
mm-hmm.
running for office will be easy
part.
Of like, all right, now I can fall back in. I can do that. I mean, but I'm still not married. I don't have children yet, so. All that factors in,
right,
and
I'm in D.C. I've been living there almost longer now than Cleveland and Chicago, where I came from.
Okay.
But so where would I run? What issues? It's like I'm more federal than I am local.
Mm-hmm.
Politics involved and focused, more of a national look.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't mapped it out, but the energy, and I prayed on that. Yeah, it'll happen at some point. I'm going to hit you up for some campaign donations. All right,
we'll
in the
see
next
what it
ten
is.
Year,
well, years. Let the people know where they could find you at if they want to donate today. Where can they find you at?
You can find me on directly on all social media platforms at Mr. Cameron Calvin, MrCameronCalvin. VIN. You can follow the Hip Politics movement, the podcast. We're on Instagram at Hip Politics Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
One stop shop. We just launched a website, hippolitics.org. We got some, like I said, we got some cool partnerships. Some merch is going up for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Debate watch parties, some trainings, a few different things that we're working with a few coalitions next year. To do this, mind you, I got a 9-to-5, so it's, and I got a few people that are on our team, but we all, it's not our full time, but it is our full time passion. So we're working, and then Hip Politics News is also there. We're doing little news updates on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well. So Hip Politics Podcast, Hip Politics News, or Mr. Cameron Calvin, type in Hip Politics. We start. I'm optimizing the search engine, so you type it in, you're gonna find some. You'll connect to the to our system some way.
The DC Sherpa.
Yeah. If you guys ever in DC, you just hit me up.
Yeah. Definitely. I testified. I did it before. You know what I mean? This cat is connected. Muhammad, tell the people where you gonna
I'm
be,
gonna
man.
Be right here, man, in the city. You can catch me at Mr. Muhammad on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay.
Y'all know what it is. I'm gonna be local.
There you go. I'm gonna be at the Stand tonight. On the 8 o'clock show. I'm at the Stand tonight. Should be a good one. I'm also at New York Comedy Club this Thursday. I think that's the 8 o'clock show as well. The New York Comedy Club East Village one. That's on Thursday. Then I'll be at the New York Comedy Club Gramercy location. I think that's the 10 o'clock show. Check the website. I'll put the information out. Also be at Eastville on Saturday. Stand Up New York on Saturday. So I'm out here. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out. Yeah.
The conversation.